I guess the first thing we were talking real quickly this morning about Governor Abbott is now decided that he's going to redirect money that was really being used in technology and emerging industries here in Texas. Obviously, we've got a big stake in that. Now, you're an advisor, a second position advisor of the City of College Station on the Research Valley Partnership. What are your thoughts about what that might mean as far as development here?
Well, you know, I think what it's going to do is it's going to channel those funds that originally were going out to private enterprise, but it's going to channel them through the universities, which I know Chancellor Sharp has come out speaking in favor of it. And I think that can help us here in this community. Of course, we are concerned anytime you have a change in who's occupying the governor's chair, what's going to happen to your university, because we've benefited. The biomedical corridor is a great example of that. The Kalon, which is now owned by Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies, is an excellent example of how that fund did succeed. Of course, there were a number of documented failures also. But that will help us, I think, in the long run, because now the universities are the ones that are actually going to benefit from that and be able to attract faculty and researchers. Of course, we have to make sure we understand it is a matching funds situation now. It's not just handing out money. So the universities are going to be able to go out there and attract folks. And for example, at A&M, where we are in the process of expanding our College of Engineering and particularly putting new labs in, and that's going to be the emphasis of how we instruct students in the years to come. I think being able to get world-renowned researchers in who will eventually be able to create new businesses and such will be a benefit for us.
Obviously, looking at building for the future in College Station, you were at the Economic Outlook Conference this week. Give us some thoughts after having heard what those people had to say, and then what other people are bringing to the table as College Station tries to pattern their growth.
Well, our city manager, Kelly Templin, I think really hit the nail on the head when he talked about the growth, particularly the construction growth that has doubled, and our population has doubled since 1990. Construction growth is up 70% in the last decade alone. Those of us who've been around College Station for a long time, we can actually visualize that growth. If you were here in the 1960s, you can remember when Southwest Parkway actually was connecting east and west. Okay, the 70s, now we're at Deakin, all right? The 80s, we're now at Rock Prairie, and on we go. And so all that growth is continuing on, and right now, developers are looking for places to build homes. We had 753 single-family home permits. That just blew the doors off what's happened in recent years. Even with
that wasn't you.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
But even with the growth that we've had here in town, we've got more growth coming. The area just south of Greens Prairie Trail that has been held by perhaps, in particular, the Margraves family, and the adjacent property, you're looking at about 870 acres there that's ready for development. Well, do the math. Put in one-fifth to one-third of an acre lots on that 870 acres, plus, of course, parks and roads and so forth. But you're looking at a significant uptick in the folks that are going to be here. And just having a brief conversation with our superintendent of schools the other day about that, that's a game changer. That means we're going to be looking at more needs. And even in the economic development conference that we had there, considering the reduction of support we're getting from the state. Yesterday it was released, for example, that the Medicare for the state is going to be 37% of the next two-year budget. That's huge. That means that money is going to be taken away from other places.
Right.
So as a city, we're going to have to do more in the way of looking at public-private partnerships. Folks have talked about municipal utility districts. And we've got one that is going to be going in over by where the Speedway has been for all these years.
Well, you're talking about higher end, middle, upper middle class, and middle class growth. Mm-hmm. Is it time now? You know, I think Dr. Gaines also spoke to the fact that there are a lot of people who cannot find affordable housing in College Station now. So let's go to the other end of that scale. Talk to me as one member of council as to what you think the city should do to make affordable housing available.
Well, there's questions. Should the city get involved in incentives for the types of housing that it actually needs? Or do we leave that simply to the private marketplace? I'm not the economist on council. We've got good
folks. But you've got to vote.
I do. And I'll listen to the people who are the best at what they do. Councilman Nichols, for example, is an economist. Mr. Benham, who's run small businesses and is in tune with what goes on there. And I think that's one of the good things about our council. We've got people with a lot of different experiences and backgrounds and education that allows us to rely on their input. I do believe that we're going to need to take a look at how we address the changes that are happening in our neighborhoods. For example, we've got a lot of high-rise apartments and that sort of thing, so we're seeing a bit of a shift of our students from living far away from campus to living closer to campus. That means that we've got some landowners or property owners right now who have some single-family homes, some duplexes and such that have been occupied by students, but now they've got vacancies. So what are we going to do? Even as the university grows, the university is even building where the Howdy Farm has been all these years. You're looking at 4,000 beds over there on the west side of campus. We've never had any residences on the west side of campus before, but that's just going to continue. As we see more and more students come to campus, and we've heard about, some people would say there's 56,000, some would say there's 58,000 right now on campus. It's a matter of how you count the other campuses that we have, Galveston, the law school, the health science center. But once we know what's coming up and we can partner, and we're doing a much better job, I think, now of partnering with the university to anticipate this growth. We're going to have to go back and look at these single-family neighborhoods, these neighborhoods where the duplexes were, for example, along Welsh, where you've got streets like Navarro, and it's just duplex after duplex. And we're going to have to take a look at how that housing can be made not only affordable, but how it can be how we can maintain the quality of that housing.
This is Carl Mooney joins us this morning. You're on a city council that's decided that they need to outsource pool maintenance. Brian is struggling with what they should do with their pools. The type of thing that you have for leisure, quality of life issues is part of what you want to do to build for College Station. As one member of council, what are you viewing to do as far as those quality of life issues?
Well, it was good to be able to get David Schmitz, who's our director of parks, up before us and talk about the looking for outsourcing of our aquatic programs in particular. You know, we've got some older aquatic facilities. Thomas Park, in particular, is one that has had some problems. Even in Bryan, Bryan's got Sadie Thomas Park, and that pool's been closed for a number of years, and they're trying to figure out, do they need to tear it down or build or try to rehab what they've got? We're taking a look at putting in what they call splash pads at different parks. I'm talking about doing that one a year. But the most sobering aspect of this outsourcing, and we've seen it already happening in Waco, where they have Hawaiian Falls up there, they've been able to outsource this, and we figured that we could save a sizable amount of money by outsourcing, which leads us to one of your favorite topics. All right, we've been having some discussions about the possibility of a natatorium that would serve not just College Station, but the region. So that brings in some issues. If we find ways that we can reduce the costs for operations and management, and we have a need for facilities at the same time to meet our growing population, as we were just talking about, all right, is it the right time? So we're taking a look at not just doing what we would do as a city, but outsourcing management and operations, and maybe even bringing in a YMCA or some other organization to run it at a decreased cost to both cities. So maybe that's something that we're going to have to take a look at. But certainly parks, aquatic facilities are the kinds of things that we're going to have to pay close attention to. But another thing that came up out of the economic conference this week was, as we see the state reduce its support of the cities, we're going to have to do more in the ways of public-private partnerships. And I think that this might be one of those areas that we go to. It requires more investigation.
Carl Mooney joining us this morning. I want to switch over to the new ordinance that you have as far as drilling within the city limits. I believe you put forth a couple of amendments and could not find any support on council.
No. I heard from a lot of citizens, and we spent considerable time, almost 2 hours, I believe. Mr. Sokol was there, so he probably has a better idea of how long it was. But we heard from a number of folks who were promoting 1,500 feet, 1,000 feet. And I had done some research, as council knows, and I had shared some of that research with them. But we were also concerned that in the small town that we really have, right, that we're not as spread out as, say, a Dallas, and where Dallas does have a 1,500-foot limit. So here we were thinking that possibly in listening to these folks that it was worthwhile. I put forth an amendment to the ordinance of 1,000 feet, knowing that 1,500 wasn't going to fly. That was, as you mentioned, soundly defeated. A matter of fact, Councilwoman Brick and I were the two that supported that. And that's fine. You know, at the end of the day, you go forward. The main thing about the ordinance that we did pass, and I did vote in favor of that, as a matter of fact, it was a unanimous vote in favor of the new ordinance, was that it added 14 additional safeguards to our city. And that's a step in the right direction. If we learned anything from the whole process of amending the ordinance, this was a 20-year-old ordinance that we had just kind of shelved and hadn't really paid attention to, but yet technology and science had moved far ahead of where that ordinance was when it was created. This ordinance is a living document, as are so many different things that we do throughout the city. This city's constantly changing. I mean, you know, you've got an office right next door that's being changed.
Yeah.
So there are things that we have to be responsive to, and I think this council is willing to step forward and not just rest on laurels and move and make amendments as the city needs them to happen.
Gotcha. Anything else that we haven't covered this morning you'd like to touch on?
Well, you know, there's we're getting involved right now. There is a Fun for All Park that is being planned for the Beachy Central Park. Fun for All Park is going to be a 15-pad site where a park will be created for those who have physical handicaps as well as some mental handicaps as well. So it'll serve not just children, but folks of all ages. This is a new step for College Station, and it's being supported in large part by the Lions Clubs and the Rotary Club. It's an exciting time for us to be able to start developing this. It will be just to the left as you come in off of the feeder road at Central Park there, and I think folks are going to find that it puts College Station in a unique position in its offering of parks to folks in our region.
Basic timeline on that?
Hard to say. Of course, everything's tied in with how fast can you raise the money. But I would think that we would be certainly turning dirt and starting to make the park a viable location for folks to come within 2 years.
Okay. Thanks for the time this morning.
Hey, thank you.
That's Carl Mooney here from the College Station City Council.